I'm Brian McCreath at Symphony Hall with Keith Lockhart, the Boston Pops conductor. Keith, thanks so much for a little of your time today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Brian. Always good to talk to you.
So, Keith, this pop season is about the Bernstein Centennial. Bernstein runs through almost every show, maybe not every single one, but there's so much to talk about with Bernstein. His life was so rich, so complicated in a way. But tell me, from your own perspective, you're in the midst of preparing so much of his music. Are there particular defined qualities of his music that kind of run through everything that you're working on right now?
Well, I think, you know, it's funny. What defines Bernstein as a creative artist is kind of what defined the rest of his career, which is a real eclecticism and a real ability to get into the soul of all sorts of different genres of anything, which really kind of explains the man in a lot of ways. I mean, of course, the rap on Bernstein during his lifetime and probably after that was that if he didn't do so many things so well, he might have done one of them better. Basically that, you know, he was one of the best regarded conductors and interpreters of the latter part of the 20th century. He was a great pianist, seemingly effortlessly. He was a composer not only of some great Broadway musicals, including with West Side Story, one of the most seminal and influential of all Broadway musicals, but on top of that, of a significant body of concert works that and all the proponents of those various things, Koussevitzky and Metropolis and Reiner wondered why he just wouldn't be serious and spend his time conducting. Copland wondered why he wouldn't, and David Diamond and other people wondered why he wouldn't spend more time being a great serious composer. And Jerome Robinson, Comden, and Green, I'm sure, wondered why he wouldn't write a great Broadway musical every 2 years.
When you put it like that, it's kind of overwhelming when you kind of just lay it all out like mm-hmm. that. And all of his mentors and collaborators, yeah, they must have been completely frustrated by him. And that means that you had your choices to make when you're putting together this season. So let's start with just the one program that is the Bernstein Centennial Tribute. You had numerous choices to get into for this particular show. You basically went with a combination of excerpts from four different shows that Bernstein wrote. So there's On the Town, Wonderful Town, West Side Story, and Candide. What drove you to that combination of shows by Bernstein?
Well, I mean, this, as you have pointed out, it's a tough thing to winnow this down to a 2-hour concert, and part of it has to do with what we at the Pops tend to do. It wasn't probably appropriate in these situations to play a movement of the Kaddish Symphony and a movement of Age of Anxiety, and plus the difficulties of trying to put something like that together. And, you know, the BSO is doing a lot of that work in the same year as well. So we focused these tribute concerts on the four most successful of his Broadway musicals, and On the Town being a great musical and really in its own way very groundbreaking and innovative with an incredible score, Candide being maybe the great American operetta written to date and with music that couldn't be by anybody other than Bernstein, and West Side Story, you know, doesn't need much explanation. But on top of that, we were playing music from Fancy Free, his first ballet score and his first collaboration with Jerome Robbins, and the piece that led to the composition of On the Town. We're playing music from On the Waterfront, his one and only film score, and trying to give some sense in 2 hours, as much as you can, as to how this kid from Lawrence, Massachusetts, managed to influence American music and the world's classical music scene so profoundly.
And for you personally, how much of this music were you kind of diving into for the first time, or maybe even just kind of returning to after quite a long time?
I was, for the first time, very little, because yeah. as an American born and bred musical product, I mean, that music has loomed large in my life for a long time. In terms of returning for a long time, I did a wonderful production of Candide. It was the first professional show I ever music directed, and this is 34 years ago, I remember that was one of those shows that I did 45 performances or something of it, and it never got old over that period of time. So some of this music I've known intimately but have not come that close to for this many years, but I think probably pretty much everything on this show I have done at some point or another in my life.
But Candide for your first music director show, I mean, that's like totally the deep end of the pool. There's so many choices and you have to make, so many things you have to reconcile about Candide because of its own history. history and its own sort of eclectic style, to get back to the idea that you had before. So you must that must have been an amazing experience to build your understanding of Bernstein.
Well, you know, I was young and clueless at that point, which was an advantage. I didn't really realize how many choices there were to make. And also, a lot of those choices had not been made evident yet. This is before the final versions that Bernstein came out with of his own show. It was after the mixed success of the first show, the new version that was done with Hal Prince. And that's pretty much where we were in the early 1980s. So I had fewer choices to make.
Okay. Well, let's talk about On the Town specifically, because you're doing this as a full production. And so I wonder, have you done that one as a full musical, as the music director?
No, I've done excerpts from On the Town. I've done the dance episodes a lot. But it was the first time I'd ever done the entire show. I've seen the entire show before. I always loved the show. When we were asked to do this, because this plays large in not only ours, but the entire Bernstein Families and Foundations idea of the scope of this centennial celebration, and it's a big feature of opening weekend at Tanglewood this year. The idea with that was that I really wanted to do something. There are other concert versions of On the Town that have been done, but mostly they were very much kind of oratorio style. And to me, the seminal thing about that show is the integration of dance in telling the story and the amazing music that Bernstein wrote for that. And so I really wanted somebody who, in the limited space that we have at either the Tanglewood Shed or in Symphony Hall, could tell the story in music and dance. And so the very first thing we did was that I reached straight out to Kathleen Marshall, whom I've known for years since our Pittsburgh days, and Tony Award-winning choreographer, director, who did an amazing revival of Wonderful Town a few years ago that I knew the Bernstein family was fond of, so I thought she'd be a good choice. And we really said, we don't want to do just the let's sing some songs and play some pieces. We really want to tell the story the way it was supposed to be told, given the physical limitations. And they were on board with that, so we basically created a new script and score. I mean, you just cut it in different ways to allow it to fit our parameters. And I'm really happy with what we came up with. And the cast is stunning. It is star-studded to the extreme, and this should, I think, really be the highlight of the season.
So help me out a little bit with the show itself and kind of how it fits into everything. Two things jumped out at me when I was kind of just looking up some things about On the Town. One is that everybody involved in creating it was in their mid-20s. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is that the biggest show on Broadway at the time, I think, if I got this straight, I'm not a Broadway historian, but I think we're talking about the year before Oklahoma opened. Right. So tell me about the fact that these young people were putting together the show and what it did to Broadway.
Well, the show has a huge energy about it. I think it is due to the youth and enthusiasm of its creators and the fact that it is a wartime show. It's a show from 1944 where everybody really needed a shot in the arm. That was not even an early wartime show. It was late in the war. It was based on its surface in 1943, like a month before Bernstein stepped in, the famous stepping in for the ailing Bruno Walter and conducted and shot to the top. Jerome Robbins had come to him because he'd been recommended by several other composers, including Persichetti and Morton Gould, and said, I'd love to do a ballet about a snippet from the life of three sailors who have 24 hours of shore leave in New York. And the result was Fancy Free, which is a great score in itself. And so that they approached each other in October of 43. That show went on Broadway in the spring of 44. And, I mean, it went into production and was the number one hit of the Metropolitan Opera's American Ballet Theater season. And got Robbins to thinking with Bernstein, what if we could turn this into a Broadway show? And they enlisted Comden and Green, who were kids. Adolph Green was Bernstein's roommate for part of this time. Together, these four incredibly exciting young people, incredibly talented young people, kind of threw away all convention. And I was reading Bernstein's own comments about the show. And he said, it's obviously a lighthearted story, even a silly story, if you will. He said, but it's a very serious musical about a very lighthearted theme. And that's true. I mean, it's obvious they spent a great deal of thought on how to construct and how to do storytelling in a novel way. And I think you're right. You have that alongside Oklahoma, right at the same time, kind of defining a lot of what Broadway is going to be over the next 50, 60, 70 years.
And so when you look at the music itself that Bernstein wrote, as you say, it tells the story through dance a lot. But do you sort of feel like, because you know so much else, Candide and West Side, all these other things, do you look at On the Town and see a miraculously more or less fully formed Bernstein at 25? Or do you see someone in this music who still has some development to go, as brilliant as it might be? There's still something more lurking in there that's not quite out there yet in On the Town.
Well, it's funny when you, I mean, that's true. Any conductor who's performing music of the past, it's like when you do Beethoven 1, do you see that that's the same composer who wrote Beethoven 9, and has anything changed? And obviously, yes. In Bernstein's case, I don't see, the development is not as linear as it is in other composers' lives, because Bernstein only wrote, you know, he wrote five Broadway musicals between 1944 and 1976. And he was doing a lot of other things in between. So it's more that they're different than, well, West Side Story is On the Town, except better. You know, it's different music. On the Town is jazzy and compact. It's very much a show of its time, and it breathes with the energy of kind of a swing era New York. And Wonderful Town, in a way, is more of a sequel of that. But when you think about it, it also used the talents of Jerome Robinson, Compton, and Green. But you know, I what I see it as is as fully formed and perfect in the way it is.
So I'm curious about whether you have any personal experience with Bernstein. Is he someone that you met or ever worked with at all?
No, you know, it's funny. I am of the generation of American conductors who would be pretty much close to the last generation who had any opportunity for direct contact with Bernstein. But I never met him. I saw him conduct once live. I grew up watching young people's concerts, and grew up in, you know, in upstate New York, and the New York Philharmonic was kind of the orchestra, and Bernstein was the conductor. But I only saw him once, and that was in the early 80s in Pittsburgh on tour with the Israeli Philharmonic. I did have the opportunity to go to Tanglewood in 1989, which would have been like about the last year he taught there. He died in fall of 1990. I chose not to because, honestly, I didn't get my full ride fellowship, and I went somewhere where they gave me one of those.
I can relate to that logic myself. Absolutely. But it still sounds like just the force of his career was a major part of your life.
I think for every American musician born pretty much after 1945, Bernstein was one of the people we aspired to be. He made classical music, for one thing, cool. All the other conductors of the day whom we looked at were all very imposing, not very attractive, older European males. Bernstein was young, he was hip, he was exciting. He also, you know, I think about this too in terms of he was one of the first people who forged a career path that did not accept the boundaries between popular music and quote serious unquote music. And you know, as my chosen profession has unwound for me, I see that a lot of the courage to say, well, yes, there's nothing wrong with doing, you know, On the Town and Mahler, at, you know, maybe not at the same time, is due to seeing somebody like that who so easily stood astride both worlds.
And when you put it that way, it's really interesting to think back to those mentors you mentioned before, and then if he had actually listened to them, maybe that career would have had less impact, even if he didn't do one thing incredibly well more than the others. It's an interesting sort of counterfactual history to try to dig into.
I think at the end of the day, Bernstein, you know, had to become the musician he was, which was unable to be limited by what other people thought he should be. And when you think of the, you know, the legacy and what he left in a very brief 72 years of living, it's really an inspiration, an ongoing one.
Keith, thanks a lot for taking a few minutes to talk with me about all of it. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Brian.